We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
It's back, baby. It's back. Until maybe it isn't. Glad
Stop.
You're with us. Golic and
Why
Week.
Aren't you saying that what about any doing? Other sport?
It is for every sport. It's
no,
all
you don't. You do not say that about the other sports. You're only saying it for baseball. They've agreed
because
to a deal.
Baseball.
They agreed to a
they
deal.
They did this to themselves. Trade. They dragged us through the muck and the mire. And now we're supposed to say, oh, joy, joy, happy, happy.
No, I did, but they're going to play. You keep making it sound like they're not going to play. They're going to do what every other league
Man,
did.
Keith Olbermann is lording over me right now, and his words are weighing heavily
upon my
shoulders.
He said no World Series.
He said 50% chance they get out of the gate.
Listen, if you want to let Keith Olbermann dunk on you, that's your decision.
That's your
but
decision.
I'm
Keith Olbermann
right
has been dunking on me since the first time I watched him in, what, 1993.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's your choice, man. I'm throwing elbows and rib cages. Yeah, you're not going to dunk on me without coming back down coughing blood.
Keith, you're feel free to dunk on me whenever you want, because your words have merit, my friend. Glad you're with us. Happy, happy times. Skolik and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests, including our next guest, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So let's just stop me talking, being pessimistic.
Yes.
Maybe he's much more optimistic. Let's bring in our fine baseball analyst, Doug Glanville, of course, longtime player in Major League Baseball, and just an all-around erudite great guy. Doug, thanks for being with us this morning. Are you happy? Are you cautiously optimistic? Are you waiting for the rug to be pulled out? Where are you?
You hit them all right there. It's a triple. Look, I'm happy. I love baseball. I've played it my entire life, and, of course, covering it hasn't even changed that. So it's great to see that opportunity opening up. Of course, I'm cautious because as a player, I remember those concerns. I mean, even something as serious as 9/11, the uncertainty remains. And we know that with Florida and other states having these increased cases and the Phillies shutting down, and there's a lot of things that we're going to face coming into spring training that just that close proximity is going to create some issues. And I doubt they're going to get through a full spring training without someone getting testing positive. It just seems inevitable. You have players from all over the world coming together, different states who have different rules. It's just going to be very tough to keep everybody on protocol, but I'm hoping for the best.
And that's the pandemic side of it. Then there's these guys haven't been together in a while side of it. How much do you expect those soft tissue injuries to happen a little more frequently?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's difficult to stay in shape when you're used to this rhythm of having an off-season training, then starting up, and then all of a sudden, in this case, just pulling back. And, pitching is going to be a big question mark because more and more with the advent of, looking at the bullpen usage and how there's so many different arms that come into a game, you're not going to be able to go, nine innings right out of the gate. It's going to be a lot of different players, and how that's going to look and play out from an injury standpoint is hugely uncertain. So what's exciting, and I heard it in your sort of intro, is the innovation. What could possibly happen? You could try all kinds of things now to spice the game up and give fan access. There's so much there that you can turn what is now a sprint instead of the marathon we used to always talk about into something very innovative and very exciting.
Doug, I'm curious in that regard. One of the things that is happening that is a change at the major league level is going to be during the regular season, not during the postseason, the addition of once you get to extra innings, the batter beginning on second base for the start of extras. We've heard a lot of reaction to that, but as someone who played the game, what do you make of that as one of the changes and potential innovations?
I feel nauseous about that one, actually. I have a friend, I'm going to give him a shout-out, Wes Alexander, who I said, well, we got to come up with a score. How do you score that? A guy just showed up at second base, and he came up with the term magic double. So, I can't explain that, how you have a person there and just show up. I mean, someone like Jacob deGrom, who's always snake bit, great pitcher, he's the perfect candidate to throw a no-hitter perfect game and then lose on a magic double scoring in next inning. So That one I'm not a fan of. That one I got to throw out.
Magic Double, by the way, sounds like it needs to be a fast food item. Very soon.
I'll take the Magic Double.
By the way, if that runner scores, that doesn't go against the pitcher, just so we know.
But you do understand why they're doing it, right? Because the last thing we can have in this expedited sprint to a postseason is to have these long games really muck up the schedule as it's going to be presented. Do you understand at least that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that they've considered this even before this, right? The idea of, you know, you're already into bullpenning, and when you're getting farther away from an era where pitchers would go 8 innings and 9 innings, you're so far removed because of the specialization of the bullpen that it's already set up that you're using all these arms. And so as you get into these long, protracted extra innings and you need your bullpen the next day in a 3-game series, that analytics component is actually what started this conversation. So it's becoming a little bit more essential for them to reconsider. But to me, you're getting away from an aspect of the game that you could reinvent in some ways. You probably can't do this year of 9 innings, but maybe there are rules that they were considering. Remember the 3-batter rule? They were working towards getting away from having a pitcher every three outs, every 2 outs, and getting more into, all right, you need to be able to get lefties and righties out. You need to be more situational.
So Doug Glanville joining us here in Golic & Wingo. And again, I get it taken away from baseball because what you're going to see is sack bunt, get the guy to third, sack fly. Maybe the game's going to be over. That's kind of the way a lot of people are going to want to do that. So we'll see on that. Here's another thing about it. Because it's 60 games, Doug, the way the schedule is going to play out, you play your division foes, your four division foes 10 times for 40 games, and then the closest geographical division in the other league, you play those 5 teams 4 times for the other 20 games. So that's 9 teams you're playing in the 60 game. So you're seeing a lot of the same people over and over again. Advantage pitchers or hitters?
Well, I certainly think longer term, as that goes out, it advantages hitters. I mean, I used to love facing the same pitchers over and over again, and I don't know, we did it like 19 times in over a long season, and so what's exciting about that is the rivalry. You know, you bring in, you know, or you're playing this, it's geographic, you know, it's an exciting moment to think about, okay, you're winning the entire East here. You know, it's like the whole entire East is yours. And that, you know, that's very interesting because every single game is going to have significance. You know, you're every game is a divisional game where you're going to gain ground or lose ground, and it's so that I like the sprint component. We had Dusty Baker on our podcast, and he talked about, well, first we asked him, well, will this World Series count? He's like, absolutely. You know, so, but on the other side of it, you have to train differently. You have to think differently. You can't be, oh, well, you know, all right, we'll worry about that the next time around in game 130 in September. Now they're thinking right from jump that every game is all hands on deck.
With that in mind, talking to Doug Glanville, the Yankees and the Dodgers have been established as co-favorites to win the World Series. Is there one team that you think, as it's constructed based on the lineup or the pitching that they have, that is best suited to find a way to get through this thing quickly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think that, you know, I like some of those teams from the NL East and how they're set up. I mean, the Nationals, you can't count them out, although they've lost some players like Rendon. You know, they just find ways when you have certain arms to be able to push the envelope. I see teams that can have some pitching depth that won't have to go 3 innings out of the start and can go deeper in games to just set up the situation on the back end. You know, if you can find a way to get to that 8-inning, 9-inning setup where you're saving arms, that's going to be a huge advantage because so many teams are going to mix and match and, okay, you got to switch this guy up. We're going to start the closer this day. And, you know, so, for example, the Tampa Bay Rays, they have a shot of doing something interesting because they've gotten out of the gate fairly well, and they also have this ability to mix and match very well from an analytics standpoint. So that's going to be a great battle. And philosophically, who can pivot to this new structure the best? And they get out of the gate quickly, they're not going to stop.
Doug, and speaking of new structures and new way of doing things and all of this, one of the things that we've seen outlined in the health and safety protocols that were approved yesterday was this emphasis on no spitting, no licking as players are going through in all of these different scenarios, the health and safety portions of it. We talked about this. As a player, which would be more difficult, the idea of not being able to lick your fingers and potentially get some tack for the ball in those situations, or not being able to spit in a sport that seems largely defined by it in certain parts?
Let me tell you that. All that is going to fail miserably. So I just hope it doesn't lead to something. But, I mean, these are habits. They just reflexes, you know, oral fixation, whatever the heck it is. Like, and first of all, you're in the dirt all the time also. So I just don't see how that's possible. I mean, Dusty Baker, for example, it's just what he does. And he's been doing it since 1972 or whatever. So I don't see how they're going to stop the reflex of the habits of, you know, I used to have seeds in my mouth to, you know, I just had jaw full of seeds, and, you know, all that's going to be out. So some of that's great. Get rid of tobacco and all that. Whatever. I know that's pretty much gone, but the spitting, there's no way every player is going to be able to stop that. And the camera is going to be on them, by the way, when someone sneezes in the dugout. It's just, and so they're going to have to figure out how not to panic and all that, but the scrutiny is going to be deep.
Yeah, Doug Glanville with us, baseball analyst, and also just a vast resource on a lot of things. We've talked about this before on the show. Doug Glanville was once questioned by a peace officer for SSWV, shoveling snow while black. So we wanted to ask you about the situation that has gone on at NASCAR in Talladega with Bubba Wallace and the reaction that has come out of it. What do you take about what NASCAR is trying to do and the reaction to what the thing in the garage was or wasn't and how it will be perceived?
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR has been, you know, trying to take a proactive approach, and that's something that's important. You know, we have to recognize that, you know, you mentioned in my case, there's all these scenarios that have ambiguity to them when it involves race in America. And when you recognize that it doesn't have to be something, you know, giant billboard of a neon sign, there's, you know, trying to buy a house in a neighborhood, there's, you know, trying to, you know, have your kids off of a wait list, whatever it may be. There's all these subtle ways that come into play. And I think the notion that things could be dismissed holistically, right? Okay, this is racism is hinging, the existence of it is hinging on Bubba Wallace or whichever way it goes. You know, that I think that's sometimes what gets so hurtful, that you can dismiss, you know, a whole experience that you have. That's clear. And, you know, since I was born, just experience I had someone, you know, call me the N-word walking home from school in elementary school. Literally, I was like, you know, eight, you know, and pull a switchblade and all this stuff. You know, so, you know, these experiences are real. And so the conversation, I think NASCAR is still trying to make sure that they address it. It should not change one way or the other. And look, it's also important to be patient in this process. It's, you know, it's easy to be, you know, especially the Twitterverse, you go back, oh yeah, no, you know, and we just don't know enough a lot of times to be able to cancel or go this way. We miss a lot of lessons. We miss a lot of lessons when we're so quick, in many different directions of when we're trying to figure out experiences. So I hope we listen more and be more patient. But NASCAR deserves a lot of credit to just, you know, raising the conversation and making bold moves. And that's important. It's what it's going to take. And it takes a lot of courage, because there's always going to be vicious backlash no matter how right you are.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the fight, no question. Doug, as always, we appreciate your time. And I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, with you about baseball. And we'll see how it all plays out. Thanks for being with us this morning.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug. All right, man. Everybody is trampling on the second base in extra innings. Are you guys wavering at all?
No.
I mean, because I do get it. You're going to come up, as I said, you're going to try and sacrifice the guy over to third, and there'll be one out, and then you try and get that sack fly and end the game. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of going to be the way it goes.
Right. I mean, A, it's not going to be in the postseason when it really matters. B, I mean, if you're saying a game like that could determine someone's getting in the postseason, it's a 60-game season. I mean, the Nationals are the defending World Series champs, and if they had played only 60 games last year, they wouldn't have even sniffed the playoffs.
So I guess let me ask this, or ask everybody out there at Golic and Wingo, is there a better way? Is there a better way to end it quicker? Because we all understand the reason why, and I get it. 60 games, it's a condensed schedule. You don't want games going 12, 13, 14, 15 innings, you know, when you're playing so close together. So is there a quicker way? Baseball doesn't seem to like this, but it's a way to end the game quicker. Is there another way?
It better have a cooler name now than the Magic Double.
Right, Doug dropped that
Magic
on
Double.
You're fighting
cool.
an uphill battle with me.
I agree
now
with that.
That I've got it tagged as a cool name yeah. because we've got that out.
Would putting someone on first with one out make people feel better?
Ooh, we can take a rip, and the Floor is Lava, that Netflix show, if the ball hits the ground in extra innings, the other team wins.
Like a ground out?
No, like it has to be past a certain point. So like it would have to touch the ground, like let's say after the dirt in the infield. If it hit the ground in the outfield, though, the team that hit that ball wins.
Isn't that like wiffle ball?
Listen, it can be whatever you want. You can pull it and source it from wherever you want. We're sourcing beer league softball on this.
So the field is lava? Is
yes,
that what we're
the
doing?
The field is lava.
The field is lava.
That's the only name that can compete with the Magic Double right now. Right, the field is lava.
The rest of the day, I'm going to Netflix and watching The Floor is Lava.
Oh, you haven't watched? Oh, yeah. Got to check out The Floor is Lava. Shout out to Billy Gill preaching The Floor is Lava gospel.
But I mean, seriously, if you want to end the game quicker, this is a way to do it.
It is.
What's a better way to realistically,
yeah.
not the field is lava.
Listen, it's realistic. You might not like it, but it is a very realistic thing.
So,
what are you going on vacation?
Well, tomorrow.
Not soon enough. Okay.
We'll figure that one out, but for this year, it's going to be runner yeah. on second,
right.
and we'll see what happens going from there. Meanwhile, it was great to talk to Doug about a myriad of things
yep.
because he is very smart and has lived through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still dealing with the fallout of what that news was and wasn't in the garage for Bubba Wallace on Sunday. And most importantly, and happily, it was not a hate crime.
Yes, I'll continue to say, the yeah. story was wrong. We talked about it, and it was a wrong story. And
it was wrong in the way it was presented from NASCAR.
And we talked about it,
yeah.
and it was wrong.
Yeah.
But the as you look at it, and NASCAR is still looking into it, why a rope shaped in that fashion was hanging in a garage when they normally aren't shaped that way, you know, tied like a noose, is that A, it wasn't a hate crime, and B, there wasn't one individual that got their finger pointed at them that was guilty of this, that had their reputation, you know, besmirched, you know, yeah. incredibly. So that didn't happen either. And I'll always still say the support of the drivers because they thought it happened is, to me, is always going to be a positive.
Yeah, I guess I struggle to feel, and I've heard so many people demanding an apology.
I'm not sure who you apologize to. I keep asking,
to who? And for people that say the general sport of NASCAR, fans who you paint it is racist, we have had a conversation around the presence of the Confederate flag in NASCAR and the feeling that that creates for people who want to be fans of the sport, who feel like that's an attack on them, who it's racist background. That was the conversation that we had about that, and that was still something that was relevant leading up to that race, that was being flown overhead, that was being flown outside. So if you want to talk about that, the instance we talked about here, as we said multiple times, was a very specific, the accusation here of the noose being in the garage would have been a very specific one that we said is easy to carve out because it was isolated. And we made that point multiple times. So again, I keep looking to who would we be apologizing to in this instance. We can always apologize for talking about a story that ended up being wrong.
Right,
and that's
yeah.
certainly yep. a part of this process. But at the end of the day, the sentiment behind all of it from NASCAR, when we talked to Ryan McGee, this is what shined through in all of this was
yeah.
the place that NASCAR came to this from is one that I find very defensible. Yeah, you can look back and say the way that we presented it could have been better, and so that we get a situation where people don't feel as strongly about this right away. But given the context of the times and given what the sentiment was, supporting a driver versus the idea of racism, not saying we take one person's word over another person's word and damn them to hell. It was support our driver in the face of racism that we know still exists in the world.
Listen, and we've had a lot of people say, well, that's like a rope in every other garage. And first of all, the FBI said, no, it was absolutely a noose. And we had Ryan McGee with on us, our senior ESPN NASCAR writer on with us. And he said, that is not in every garage in any way, shape, or form. And we asked Ryan how that went unnoticed when they first went through the process.
It's just kind of a background thing. You know, it's not like it was not like it was hanging from the center of the door in some dramatic Hollywood fashion that everyone would have seen it. You know, it was over there on the side, a rope that already existed that was, for whatever reason, fashioned into a noose. And so, you know, it's just like if you're going to practice, you might not notice that blocking sled is sitting over there 7 straight days. But then the one day you do, you're like, oh, that blocking sled's been sitting there. It's just kind of, the garage is a busy place with a lot of stuff going on and a lot of gear, and they just didn't notice it.
You know, it's something that's obvious isn't obvious until it looks obvious. It's like you look at that picture and that you say, there's a duck in that picture. And you're like, I can't see the duck. And then you finally see the duck in the picture.
And you can't not see it.
That's all I see is the duck.
Yeah.
You know,
and one thing to be clear about this, it was not Bubba Wallace that reported this. It was one of members of his crew that saw the rope fashioned as a noose and went to NASCAR. So comparing this to the actor from Empire, that's not the same thing in any way, shape or form. And Bubba's going to get some of that blowback on this, unfortunately. And he was on CNN last night, and he said, look, I understand that people are going to do that, but this will not break me and what I stand for.
And in my statement on Sunday night, this will not break me. None of the allegations of being a hoax will break me or tear me down. It will piss me off, absolutely. But that only fuels the competitive drive in me to shut everybody up, to get back out on the racetrack next weekend in Pocono and showcase what I can do behind the wheel under tremendous amounts of BS, whatever it is you want to say. It won't break me. You won't tear me down. Again, I will still stand proud of where I'm at.
And those drivers will probably still need to show that amount of support for him as well.
Well, because, you know, listen, it's not all we say we feel good that, you know, there wasn't a hate crime here. We love the support that they saw, and not one person was said you did this and their reputation was dragged or anything like that. But boy, that doesn't mean there's still some interesting statements out there. Let me give you one. There's a NASCAR driver, former NASCAR driver, Mike Skinner, whose son Dustin was involved in racing and still is. Dustin Skinner is now a driving coach and a crew chief. Mike Skinner's other son, Jamie, owns a racing team, and this guy is a driving coach and a crew chief. Dustin Skinner, son of Mike Skinner, former NASCAR driver. This is what Dustin Skinner put on Facebook. This is when the story was out that there was a noose, that it was a noose that was left in Bubba Wallace's garage. Said, I grew up watching NASCAR in my living room before my dad ever made it to NASCAR. We were Dale Earnhardt fans. Then my dad became Dale's teammate. I know it's not what you guys want to hear, but my hat is off to who put the noose at that car. Frankly, I wish they would have tied it to him and drug him around the pits, because he has single-handedly destroyed what I grew up watching and care about for 30 years. I will not watch this sport anymore, and that's sad. So this is the son of a NASCAR driver.
And by the way, the father came out.
I'm getting to that. Okay. The son of a NASCAR driver who posted that and, of course, has now deleted it and, of course, is trying to say it wasn't race-related. And, I mean, it's a joke what this guy said here. It's disgusting, and then tried to backtrack. And, again, his father, Mike, has said, I usually do not want to air dirty our family laundry, but me and my wife, we do not hold this opinion. They absolutely separated themselves from that opinion, said we do not feel that way. But that was the son of a former car driver who is a crew chief and a driving coach, came out and said that when everybody thought the noose was meant for Bubba Wallace. He wishes the noose was around Bubba Wallace, and he got dragged through the pits.
So, again, when asked to believe the word of Bubba Wallace against the idea of racism existing, you can understand why people erred on the side of saying, all right, well, we know Bubba Wallace, we love him, we value him in so many ways and want to support him, and racism is still a very real thing. Yes, we would err on the side of caution in believing this person that we trust against the idea of racism, which is the way it was positioned in this entire situation.
Hey, best of luck with that driving coach.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, good luck. Hey, wish you all the best.
Trying to go through and read the apologies is just... It blows my mind.
No, you said what
blows
you said.
Blows my mind.
If that's how you feel, be that way.
One of the first things he wrote afterward, I love everyone. This was not about race at all. He said, I disagree with what Wallace is doing.
What driving?
Wallace doing?
What is he doing? Driving?
I disagree with what he is doing, but it was stupidly foolish for me to say what I said. I love that. I love everyone. This was not about race. Yet you love everyone, but you wanted the noose around that man and drug around the pits. Stick it, Dustin. How about that? All right.
Best of luck.
I mean, really?
I'm sure people are flocking to sign up for you as a coach. Coming up, which NFL teams are Super Bowl or bust in 2020? I've got a top three-ish list next. Golden Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Actually, looking forward to it.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. Yes, Mike.
So, really quick, I know it's football music, but we talked about baseball and the man on second and the extra innings, what we could do to maybe spruce that up because baseball people don't like it. People have been great with this. They said every inning, extra inning that goes, you take a position player off the field.
I do like that. I'm not going to lie to you.
And as far as the man on second, because we said you'll just sacrifice him over to third and then get the sack fly to score him, is do it with one out. Put him on second, give him one out. That way it'll take off the sacrifice because that would be two outs, man on third, and wouldn't make a difference for the sack.
Doesn't have
fly.
A cool name. Field is lava.
Yeah, I know.
Field is lava.
Field is lava.
You need,
I know.
Remind people, those are great ideas.
Yeah.
Well thought out. Add a cool name or else I'm not going to entertain.
Gotta have a cool name. I'm with you on the cool name. I like the magic double going on right now or the incredible list we're about to get.
Yeah. So, you know, we do this thing every Wednesday where I rank stuff in the NFL, and we came up with the idea this week of the teams that are all in for the Super Bowl. But let's be clear.
I was going to say, doesn't every team want to win the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl or bust?
No, I would say some teams understand they have no chance.
Outside of Jacksonville?
Yeah. So the point is not that this is not the list of teams that I think have the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
This to me is the list of teams that through their actions this offseason has said, we're all in this year and we either win this thing or the season will be a failure.
Yes, we're winning the Super Bowl is the only metric of success for the following team.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, so with that, I've come up with, you know, a few teams. Cliff, let's do it.
Number three.
Get used to that number, by the way.
Oh, no.
At number 3C.
Oh, God.
Your Indianapolis Colts. They got Philip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Contract. It's for 1 year.
Old quarterback.
Potentially two, but he says he wants to do. It's a 1 year deal. They gave him a wide receiver and a running back in Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. They have a pretty good defense. They have a great offensive line.
They get DeForest Buckner.
They got DeForest Buckner, from the San Francisco 49ers. They are all in for this year. All in.
They are. Listen, if Philip Rivers is a quarterback coming off a season where he threw a lot of interceptions were it not for Jameis Winston. So I absolutely agree. There's a lot invested in this season that's going to have to be analyzed if it goes poorly.
Okay.
And we know in the top end what's expected.
You guys good with that one?
Yeah. Good with that.
All right, Cliff, let's move on.
Number three on the list, stay with me.
God.
Number 3B. Whoa. You're telling me that Tampa Bay isn't all in for the Super Bowl? I'm out of here. The Buccaneers. They get Tom Brady. He's got 2,000-yard wide receivers. Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement. They had a very good defense last year where Jameis Winston, with all the turnovers, put them into a very, very difficult situation.
I'm surprised they're this low.
I was going to say, I'm very interested to see what the let's get to the rest of the list because I want to see where they fall because this feels low.
Real quickly, Tom Brady's the oldest quarterback to win a playoff game at 41. He'll be 43 this year. Here we go.
Another one.
Hell no.
What the hell?
Number three.
At 3A, your defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And you may say to yourself, wait a minute. You got the best quarterback in the game. Why are they all in to win the Super Bowl? Because that best quarterback in the game is still on a rookie contract. And you know that payday is coming, and it's coming quickly. And when it comes, the Kansas City Chiefs, as we know it, will be vastly different, which is one of the reasons why they've got Chris Jones on the franchise tag this year. I think they want to try and maximize the window with the roster they have right now to get in there and win another Super Bowl.
See, I think this is less it's Super Bowl or bust and more because they've had their quarterback win the MVP last year, won the Super Bowl last year. They are rightly only judged by this as the metric for them. Of course, right now with how talented your team is, the only expectation Super Bowl.
I'm less excited about that one.
Well, see, but you've been at Patrick Mahomes hater since day one.
I have not. I understand your reasoning though. Yeah. It's kind of like the Seattle when Russell Wilson was still on his rookie deal.
Correct. All right, now we move on.
Number three.
We move on to number three again. And that would be your San Francisco 49ers. I love what they did in the offseason getting Trent Williams. They get rid of Forrest Buckner. They get Javon Kinlaw, who is going to be rotated in with that great deep offensive line, defensive line. And you know they're going to pound the rock. Now, the Deebo Samuel injury is troubling for them. He's going to miss some time with the foot injury, but I still think this team, which had a 10-point lead on Kansas City in the fourth quarter, like every team had a 10-point lead on Kansas City in the postseason, were that close, and I think they're all in for this season.
I'm going to say it's your list, and you can make any list that you want, how you want it, but I would have done this list without having the two Super Bowl teams in it from last year because, of course, that is their only way to go.
But that's the whole point. The whole point is Super Bowl or bust.
I would have thrown them out because I think that's...
Who's number two?
Just me.
Who's number two?
What's
number two.
Veteran team, veteran coach, added a veteran player at a position they needed it, and have had so much heartbreak over the last few years, that would be your New Orleans Saints. And Emmanuel Sanders there. Listen, there is no other acceptable thing. They found ways to lose games in ridiculous ways over the last three seasons and had, I think, the best record over the last three seasons and have come up just short.
I agree with that. I think they've been in this mode for a couple of years now.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, this is one, especially another aging quarterback, been knocking on the door, been the favorite in a lot of people's minds for the last few years. No question.
All right. And now we get to number one.
Number one.
And it's the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, through reverse engineering, not by design, but by plan, have found a way to back themselves into a really good situation with getting Diggs after taking CeeDee Lamb in the first round. They signed everybody else, and they finally got Dak Prescott locked down. I get it. They haven't won a Super Bowl in a quarter of a century. Haven't won a championship game, a conference championship game in a quarter of a century. But with this team as it's presently constructed, I think they're all in for the ring.
They're definitely all in. The debate is around number one here, but it's interesting. And I think you're right because I think this is the only way the Cowboys come out of this in the winning side of the Dak Cowboys debate.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the money they're spending, you're going to have to show that trophy, I think. You could flip one and two, but I get the argument. It's tough for me to fight the argument.
They were first in total yards offensively last year, third in points per game, and Dak was 1 yard shy of passing Tony Romo's record for most passing yards by a Cowboy. And now he's got Amari Cooper re-signed. They have Michael Gallup there, and they get CeeDee Lamb. We think the offensive line is not what it was. The biggest concern for them is the secondary, but again, they're counting on that pick by Diggs to fortify the loss of Byron Jones.
I guess the only thing I'd say about the list is because I think San Francisco and KC are so obvious, I would have put them at B and C.
Right. But that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right. So let's break. I'll give you my biggest gripe with this list.
Oh boy.
Why you're absolutely right about the Cowboys and some other expectations for the teams below this tier in the NFL.
All right. So I'm getting excited about that. The team with the NFL MVP and the best record, not on the Super Bowl or bust mode. And we'll explain that because there was a lot of process about that.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. ESPN2, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you guys.
So already right out of the gate of your list, again, your list of teams that it's Super Bowl or bust. Trey just did. Super Bowl or bust this year. His list of his top three, which turned into six, we're starting at the bottom.
Sounds about right.
Indianapolis Colts, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Dallas. The first thing I would have done is put San Francisco and Kansas City at the bottom because when you go to the Super Bowl, that's all you got to go back to that. We are getting somebody who did put in there, Anthony tweeted, no Titans or Bills, the list is a farce.
Okay, I respect your opinion.
Right.
They have a long-term play with Ryan Tannehill, a quarterback now. So I think there's a longer runway for them. I don't think it's all about the Super Bowl this year for them. You could make the argument that it is. As for the Bills, win a playoff game. I think that's the more realistic expectation in Buffalo.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't start to talk about places that you have no right having access to at this point, or haven't demonstrated an ability to have access to. And I understand that some people might bring Phillip Rivers up in that conversation and say, all right, he's not a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl or anything like that. But you scale differently when the quarterbacks are up there in age.
Correct.
When you've been acquired through free agency the way that him and Tom Brady have, for the express purpose of being the capstone on a roster that you believe is Super Bowl ready. So in those other situations, you're absolutely right. Longer timeline and realistic expectations based on accomplishment. Tennessee is hoping, I would imagine, that when you sign Ryan Tannehill to a long-term deal, that you've got a longer-term window in this.
Correct. That's exactly why I went. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering about the Baltimore Ravens not being on the list.
Same scenario. Young quarterback that you think that team should be good for a while, the way that you've constructed it. You had a great offseason, no doubt, but the rest of that
can't you say the same thing about San Francisco? They have a young quarterback. They have a who signed to a few years more in his deal. I mean, isn't that this kind of the same thing?
Oh, I think San Fran should be lower on this list, too. I think San Fran and Kansas City, like you said, should kind of be at the bottom on this one. I think for everyone else, it's a little bit more dire. Now, for San Fran, you can say Kyle Shanahan, been close but no cigar on two.
Yeah.
The close proximity you have right now, maybe decisions you make depending on how this year goes with Jimmy Garoppolo would drive that up, certainly, that idea of Super Bowl or bust with the current roster that you have. But I do account for the Debo injury in that and say that's a big factor in the way that I look at this team, it not being whole right off the start.
So you said you wanted to shred my list.
I didn't say I wanted to shred it. I can tell you my biggest gripe with it, which is Tampa Bay being as low as it is. That's a top three team when it comes to Super Bowl or bust in this scenario, because we just don't know how much longer you can count on Tom Brady in that regard. You've got such great weapons in this, and so I feel like capitalizing soon when you've got a quarterback that's on the cusp like that with a talented roster like this means you got to act now.
That's why I would almost put those three teams with the older quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3. What order you wanted? New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Indy. Because you are on quarterbacks who are in their last year or two. Yeah. No doubt about it. Dallas, I know you got Dak on the franchise tag, but everybody's expecting him to probably sign at some point. San Fran with Garoppolo, Mahomes is going to sign a deal.
That's where I'll push back. I don't.
You don't what?
I think he's going to play this year on the franchise tag, and I think that makes it very difficult that he's going to re-sign in a way that makes your team, like, if they bring him back next year, we've already talked about it, if you were to tag him again next year, you've got to gut your roster.
37.
Well, no, I don't think they're going to tag him. I think Dak's going to win in this. They're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
See, I think Dak winning is playing on the tag and hitting true free agency in a way that's going to drive up the price on this. I think that's the only place we differ on this is I see their situation with Dak as a lot more tenuous.
I agree because Kirk Cousins has been coaching him up on this. You know, I talked to him when we did the schedule release show. He told him, use the tag as your friend. You know, the tag can be your friend in this. And if Dak did hit the open market,
so are you guys both saying Dak Prescott one more year in Dallas, he's gone? I disagree with that.
Potentially.
I'm saying that potential, and I'm saying for Dallas, what you face this year is, because we've always talked about it, we always frame these negotiations as who wins or who loses amongst the team and the player. The only way that Dallas can win now, short of getting him signed to a long-term deal this year, which I think is very unlikely,
before July 15th,
which I don't think that's going to happen. I think in this situation, the only way Dallas wins is if they win a Super Bowl this year. Because if not, you are either keeping Dak on a deal where he's going to win and he's going to get it to a level that's going to make it difficult for you going forward when you've stacked this roster with quality parts right now that you might have trouble keeping some depending on how that works. Or you lose him in free agency and now you've got this roster that you've built together around a quarterback you no longer have.
And the most important thing for people to understand about the numbers for Dak next year is regardless of what the salary cap is, that tag ain't changing.
No.
Like there is the real possibility that the cap will either stay flat or go down because of revenues. But
his tag number will only go up.
Yeah.
His tag number will be at least $37 million. It may go higher because, again, the franchise tag is the average of the top five at your position. So if in between now and then Mahomes signs, Deshaun Watson signs, that's going to send the average even higher, so it could actually be higher than $37 million. So that's why we all agree he has got the leverage here, no doubt
about
that.
And the only reason I have the Bucks lower on there is Golic and Wingo was presented by Progressive Insurance, and all phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line throughout the morning. is that the uncertainty of this offseason, we've seen it with Tom Brady trying to work through the scenario with his wide receivers and Phillip Rivers maybe doing the same thing. This offseason is going to hurt them in their scenario, even though that is their mindset.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the list. Isn't the list about the mindset of the team at Super Bowl or bust?
Yes. Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with.
It's all factored into sort of the way I stacked it.
I just try to throw into everything.
Real quick, Dad, because you disagreed on Dallas, who would you say is the most Super Bowl or bust?
Saints? I would put the Saints, Tampa Bay, and Indy 1, 2, 3 because of the quarterback's age.
I could vibe with that. For me, New Orleans is probably at the top just because the recent past is so devastating for them.
Yeah, and I just feel like the Chiefs would love to get one more before they have to open up the vault for Patrick Mahomes. it's a nice vault. Coming up next, someone who's not sold on the NBA's bubble. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.